Well, friends, the gospel reading is Luke chapter 17, beginning at the 11th verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to the Samaritan, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." For the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, as we come to hear from your word and as we delve into it, open our hearts to see you, to love you, and to praise you. And we ask this in your wonderful Son's name. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, about 10 years ago, I heard a story about a man called Andrew, a Christian man, who one day went to get his hair cut. It's exciting, isn't it? Sorry. As he went to get his hair cut, he shared with Haley, his hairdresser, a number of things that he was thankful for, whether it be his family or different things happening in his life. And after a while, she said, "It isn't that I've got nothing to be thankful for, but no one to be thankful to." I'll repeat that. "It isn't that I've got nothing to be thankful for, but no one to be thankful to." I wonder, have you ever met anyone like Haley? They are grateful, they're joyful, they have plenty to give thanks for, but they're kind of stuck as to who to thank. They might thank their parents, but then they would thank their grandparents, but then they'd thank their great-grandparents. But then how far back do you go before you get stuck? Who do I thank for life or for goodness or for joy or for family, for friends? Who do I thank? Where do I go with my thanks? Well, how might you respond to someone like Haley, or how might you encourage someone like her? And I think there are many people like them around us today. Well, I want to suggest that you could share this wonderful passage with them from Luke's Gospel, Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. A true story where a man is thankful and he rightly recognizes who to truly thank. He really recognizes who he should thank. And we will see how thankfulness to God brings a Samaritan into a right and joyful relationship with God, with him. I'm not sure what page it's on in the Bibles around you, but if anyone has that open, feel free to shout that out. Oh, Penny will get there. Well, this miracle takes place as Jesus is travelling from Galilee in the north towards Jerusalem in the south. He's about to enter a village, we're not told where, and 10 lepers approach him at a distance. And they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy," or "have pity on us." Now, they have to keep their distance because they were lepers. And leprosy, as it's mentioned in the Bible, can cover a variety of diseases to do with the skin. Some were curable, others were not. And one commentator, Leon Morris, writes about this. He says, "In its worst form, leprosy was dreaded, causing disfiguring and fatal, and death. And the ancient world's only defense against it was quarantine. That was the only thing they could do at the time. Sufferers were forbidden to approach other people, those who didn't have leprosy, They had no way of earning a living and had to depend on charity. The psychological effects of all of this meant people had an attitude to leprosy different to other diseases. Leprosy was defiling. People were ashamed of leprosy, of those who had it, and if they had it, they were ashamed, though the leprosy was no fault of their own. There was a stigma attached to leprosy in the same way that, well, AIDS was attached to people, and people were afraid of that, and the people who had AIDS were also afraid of, ashamed for having AIDS, even if they were not responsible for it. And so these 10 lepers, who've been excluded from normal society and cult communities and life, they cry out to Jesus for mercy, and they pray. Surely when they cry out for mercy, they're asking him to heal them. They've no doubt heard of who he is and what he's done. Words travel to them and around the region as it does with Jesus, and all they can do is ask for him to have mercy on them. Maybe he can heal them. That's what they hope. Jesus neither approaches them nor touches them as he does in other cases when he heals people, nor does he declare to them, "You are healed," and they are healed at that point. Instead, he gives them this instruction: go and show yourselves to the priests. And this was a normal procedure. When a person was healed or was considered clean, and they had been unclean, they had to go to the priest, who acted as a sort of health inspector. They had to go to the priest, and after being to the priest, if he said, "Yes, you are clean," they could be welcomed back into the community. So Jesus isn't doing anything unusual, except that he's asking these 10 men who have leprosy, who are unclean, to act as if they were clean and had been healed, and go to the priest to be approved. That makes sense? He's asking them to trust. Yeah, imagine you are healed and go to the priest, is what he's doing. He's putting their faith to the test, isn't he? What do they do? Will they listen to him? Some of them are going, "But I'm not healed yet." Well, actually, amazingly, all 10, every single one of them, goes to the priests. And verse 14, "And as they went, they were made clean." All of them were made clean. They all trusted his instruction and went. And this is wonderful. They passed his test in a way. And of course, all 10 returned to thank him. Well, no, that isn't what happens, is it? Only one returns to Jesus when he realizes he has been healed. And we must see that he does much more than just saying thank you. As he returns to Jesus, he's shouting, well, he's publicly praising God in a loud voice for people to hear what God has done in healing him. He recognizes that God has worked something in him to restore him to health. And in an act of humility, the Samaritan throws himself before Jesus. He prostrates himself before him, which was the most humbling thing you could do to somebody in the day. You'd lower yourself as much as you possibly could before another person. That's what he does, and he thanks the master who had healed him and chosen to heal him. He'd asked for mercy, and he'd received mercy. And he also received joy and gratitude, didn't he? And thankfulness for what had taken place. Now Luke, who put the gospel together, he makes a point that this man was a Samaritan. And this is worth us noting, because Jews and Samaritans did not get along. What are the two opposing AFL teams? It's like Collingwood and Carlton. Thank you, Simon. They were loggerheads with each other. They really, really did not like each other. They couldn't stand each other's company. And they had a history of conflict. And yet it is the Samaritan who comes back to thank Jesus, who is a Jewish healer. Now, of the whole group, Luke seems to imply that this was a mix. The lepers were Jews and Samaritans. Maybe there was a Greek in there as well. But it's the Samaritan of all people who comes to thank Jesus. the crowd, or the people around them, probably expected him to be the last person to come and thank Jesus. He may want to benefit from Jesus, but he might be the last one to come and give thanks. But we see that he is the only one who comes to thank Jesus for what he's done. And there's a saying I came across that relates well to this story. It's quite sobering. If a person does not give thanks quickly, they usually do not do so at all. If somebody is blessed with something good and they don't give thanks quickly, they usually do not give thanks at all. And after this remarkable series of events, we now come to Jesus' remarkable response. Jesus first addresses a crowd, doesn't he, with a couple of questions. And they're very striking. Were not 10 made clean? There's an implication in there, isn't there? But the other 9, where are they? Why aren't they here? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? I mean, imagine being the crowd there and hearing Jesus ask these questions. You knew what the answers were, didn't you? You knew that they had failed in some way. The 9 had not recognized truly what had happened. There was something that was missing from their response. And Jesus is expressing his disappointment in the 9, isn't he? They too were cleansed. They had equal reason to rejoice and to be thankful, but in a way they did not take their thankfulness far enough. They didn't bring their thanks to God, from whom all good blessings flow. I mean, we wonder whether they were so happy, so overjoyed at what had happened to them, that they thought about what they wanted and who they should speak to first, rather than thinking about the source for their healing or the source for their thankfulness. They enjoyed the gift but forgot the one who had given them that gift. And so this foreign Samaritan, in his response to Jesus, shows up the lack of response from that of the healed Jews of the other 9. But with the Samaritan, Jesus is pleased, isn't he? He has a word of encouragement for him, and it's wonderful. Verse 19. You can almost hear friend in this, can't you? Friend, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Isn't that good? I mean, imagine you've had cancer, you've had treatment. The doctor says the treatment has made you well. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? And maybe you have that experience. What's interesting in all of this is that presumably the other 9 lepers had faith enough to trust Jesus and his instruction to go to the priest and show yourselves to be clean. And they had rightly trusted in him and been healed. But with the Samaritan, he has this faith and he has thankfulness to God. It's kind of like the bonus set of knives you get when you buy something on TV. Buy this product and get this one along with it. The Samaritans receive this wonderful healing and he gets this wonderful bonus, something which is in a way better than the healing itself. He has faith and gratitude and thankfulness to God. And with Jesus' words, his encouragement can be translated in this way. It could be, your faith has made you whole. Which, when understood that way, it's not just physically whole. It's your whole being has been restored and made well. Or it could even be, your faith has saved you. The word can be translated in these different ways. But can you see how much, it's much more than just being healed, isn't it? There's an element of, the whole being of a person has been restored and renewed or remade. And so when Jesus encourages this Samaritan, he assures him that he has received more than physical healing. He has received wholeness. He is at peace with the one he is thankful to. you can say that he has received salvation. He has his well-placed trust has saved him. His trust in Jesus, the one who has chosen to bless him and to save him, his well-placed trust has saved him. It is as well with his body as it is with his soul. And it's wonderful. And this means he is in a right relationship with God. He is not simply thankful, because being thankful doesn't save you, but he is thankful to God, the one who has given him these good things. And so with this Samaritan man, we see how his thankfulness to God, and that to God is really important, his thankfulness to God brings him into a right and joyful relationship with him. He knows his good God, and he can but praise him in a loud voice for all to hear. Now, the obvious and immediate application for us is that whatever we are thankful for, whenever we are thankful, we must bring our joy to God, to thank him. Not to thank our lucky stars, not to say thank God, but just say it without thinking about actually thanking God. A lot of people say thank God, don't they? But you wonder whether they actually do praise God, whether they are joyful for what he has done. We must publicly declare our joy to God, our praise to him, and be ready to do that publicly, to let others see the reason for our joy and our gratitude. What is amazing is that we don't actually deserve any good thing from God's hand. If you read the scriptures, you realize that nobody deserves God's grace. Nobody deserves his blessing, because each one has turned from God and his goodness, from him and his good ways, and they've chosen to live their own way. It's the reason why Jesus came. He didn't come because we were nice people and he thought, oh, I'll give you something else. He came because we needed to be rescued from what we deserved, which was death, for turning from God and rejecting him who is good. And so when we realize our undeservedness, I don't know if that's a word, but when we realize how undeserving we are, and yet how gracious and good God is towards us, especially in his Son, we can but praise him and rejoice that he should choose to love us. I don't know if you've ever watched or seen Les Miserables. There's a scene in which a man is down in the dumps. He's running away from the police, and he's staying with a Christian man. And he steals some chandeliers from him. He gets caught by the police and taken back to the Christian man. And the Christian man says, oh, you also forgot to take the cutlery. Mm-hmm. Which is the last thing that he was expecting to receive. He'd stolen from this man, and this man was ready to forgive him for what he'd done, but also shower more upon him to help him, to save him. And it's from that point that his life is transformed, isn't it? I heard the story of a man... got onto a train, and a drunkard came up to him and said, oh, would you like a drink? And the man said, no, thank you, but I can see you're very generous. And the drunk was so struck that he sat down, and the man shared the gospel with him, and the drunk became a Christian because somebody took the time to thank him for his generosity. Whereas most people would have gone, no, go away. I think God comes to us, and we shout at him, we rail against him, we hate him, and yet he comes to us and says, it's all right. Look, I love you. Look at my son. Receive this gift from me. And clearly something of this has hit the Samaritan and struck him, so much so that this is just this wonderful spontaneous response of gratitude and joy. And he would have known that there was nothing he could do about his leprosy, wouldn't he? Mm. He had to fall before God's mercy before this Jesus, this Jewish healer, to receive anything. And he did. And so something else we can do is to think on what Christ has done for us, which must cause us to rejoice and be thankful to God and his mercy towards us. Now, having said all that, life is not always easy, and it's so easy to forget to be thankful. I'm sure you've had this experience. You're having a great week, and all of a sudden something happens and it hits you for six. And all those good things that have happened sort of become distant past. And that's why I think it's important for us to sort of take up this discipline of thankfulness, that we prepare ourselves for the difficult times by training ourselves to be thankful. I've taken quite a number of nursing home services, and I can spot the people there, the men and women. I can spot the ones who have been ungrateful their whole lives and the ones who have been thankful their whole lives. You can spot the people who've had these different disciplines. There's one lady at Tenby House, Annie, and she's always got this huge grin on her face. You know her? Yeah. This hasn't come about by accident, but I think she's been aware of all the different things she can be thankful for. And so it's good that we actually train ourselves to be thankful. I mean, you can wake up each morning and go, what can I be thankful for? Some people I know wake up and go, thank you, Lord, for another day of life. I'm alive. If you like waking up after surgery, I'm still here. Although, I don't know if you remember, Coralie, our dear sister, she woke up from surgery and said, what am I still doing here? I wanted to be with Jesus. But then again, she was looking forward to what Jesus had promised her, and she received eventually. We can easily slip out of thankfulness, so make it a discipline. Train yourself to be joyful, to be thankful. Or consider Paul's words when he's in prison, because he's been telling people about Jesus and he's been jailed for it. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. This isn't just a mere platitude or something nice to say. This is something that comes from his heart. He knows that God is good. He knows that he has been saved. He knows where God is taking him. And so regardless of his circumstance, he can still say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Now, I've printed out a couple of verses from Psalm 105, because in those first couple of verses, there are prompts for you to remind you how you can praise God. You can talk to him, you can sing to him, you can recall all the good things he's done in your life or in the past. You can commit your ways to him. And what this printout, I hope, will do, you could put it on a fridge or leave it on a coffee table, just as a prompt for you to go, well, how can I thank God today, or what can I thank him for? You could put it into your wallet. And so when you find yourself in a tough spot, pull it out and, okay, Lord, help me to be thankful. And then read this through and spend time contemplating it and asking him to help you. So I'm just going to finish today with these words. I give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name, and let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of your work in our lives. We thank you for your grace towards us in your Son and for the transformation he offers each one of us. Lord, we cannot praise you enough for the gift of yourself that you have chosen to give to us who do not deserve it. Lord, help us to be grateful and to work at being thankful to you. And be pleased to give us opportunities to share our joy and gratitude with others, especially with those who do not yet know you. Lord, give us opportunity with our family, our friends, our neighbours, even strangers we might bump into and start talking to. Lord, help our hearts be filled with joy and gratitude to you and to you alone. And we ask all of these things in the name of your Son. Amen.